Hey there, it's Andrea. Welcome back to another episode of Mastering Social Media for Schools. Really excited to share with you my first solo episode where I'm going to do a little bit of teaching. You guys, we're looking forward to the new school year with a lot of uncertainty, but with social media being such an important way of communicating and connecting with our communities, whether we're at school or not. It's important, but we need to look right now and do some reflection and look at setting some goals. And so today's episode is all about that. We're going to have a little bit of homework and you're going to thank me later. So you're welcome. Just so you know, we have been doing social media for school since 2014. I actually got laid off from my corporate job. I thought it was the end of the world. I was a single mom. It was awful, but it led me to entrepreneurship where I started doing social media for businesses. And then I actually started working for a small school district. And then guess what? I found out other schools needed help. Well, now me and my team of 30, we help hundreds of schools from across the country with social media. And we teach them how to maximize it, how to create systems that really work so that you can control social media instead of social media controlling you. We have quite a few different services available, from full management to a coaching program to an online membership to now even a webinar pass where we're teaching people each month and bringing great, amazing school PR folks from across the country to your computer in virtual PD format. But we've learned a lot. And today I'm going to jump into sharing a little bit with how we're reflecting on social media before we jump into the new school year so that we can set up some goals for the schools we serve, and we can help maybe calm the storm a little bit, give you some clarity as you look at your social media strategy. And we really hope that this episode is going to help you. And we definitely want to hear your biggest takeaway from this episode. And we might be able to offer some further resources as well. So let's get to it. I'm Andrea Gribble, a Wisconsin mom who got laid off from her corporate career and jumped into entrepreneurship, not knowing exactly where that road might lead. I'm a natural-born cheerleader who discovered a way to cheer on schools through the power of social media. Turns out, social media isn't easy. I had to figure out what I was doing, and now I'm here to teach you everything I've learned. The Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast gives you simple, actionable strategies to celebrate your students and connect your communities through the power of social media. Join me as I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school social media shine. This week's K-12 PR tip is all about growing your fan base on Facebook. If you've kind of hit a plateau and you just aren't growing as fast as you'd like in regards to actual, you know, people who like your Facebook page, you're not alone. But there's a simple tip that can help. And we're not talking about inviting the whole world or going through your own personal book. We're talking about inviting engaged fans, people that have already interacted with the amazing stories that you're sharing on your Facebook page, and simply inviting them to, hey, you've never liked our page. You've interacted, but you haven't liked our page. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to a Facebook post, and you're going to click on the likes, loves, and all of that. And a window is going to pop up, and it's going to list every single person who liked it or loved it, right, or gave it a wow. And you're going to be able to see whether they have already liked the page, in which case there's a little button that is kind of grayed out. But then you're also going to see a invite button that will be black, and you'll be able to click it and actually give them a little nudge and say, hey, you know, you're invited to actually like the New Auburn School District page or whatever page you happen to be managing. They may not even realize that they haven't liked the page. You will not believe the times where I have seen people, you know, that are teachers, that are students that haven't actually liked our page yet. And so Facebook's only going to allow you to do it once. And so you're not going to continually bother people, right? You're just going to invite them. And I guarantee that your Facebook fan base will grow. And this is addicting, you guys, because every one of your posts, you actually can click on, you know, who's liked or loved it, and you're going to be able to see this box. It also works on your phone. So if you're standing in line somewhere or, you know, trying to kill some time, you're going to be able to actually go and invite all of the folks that haven't liked your page to actually invite your page. And I guarantee you, I've had people be like, oh my gosh, we just added 300 fans. And these aren't just people that don't care. They have already interacted with your page. So I hope this tip helps. Now let's dive into today's episode, talking all about setting up goals for the new school year. Hey there, it's Andrea, and guess what? We don't have a guest this week. Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast is meant to share the tips, the tricks that are going to help you take social media to the next level. And up until now, we have just been interviewing other folks. And I shouldn't say just, because they've been amazing. There are so many amazing people to talk to across North America. And we have certainly featured some of the greats, and we're just getting started. But I always intended for this podcast to be a spot where I can help teach and share what I've learned. I started doing social media back in 2014 when I knew nothing about social media for schools, and I have learned so much, and my goal is to help share some of that experience, that knowledge, that expertise that we've built up with working with hundreds of schools, and we're going to share it with you. So today we're going to talk about reflecting, reviewing, and setting some goals and priorities for your social media efforts for your school leading in to the 2020 school year. I recently did a webinar with hundreds of people from across North America participating, and we were talking through 5 steps to take this summer to improve social media for next fall. And the very first thing that I talked about was reflect, review, and set priorities/goals. And so today we're going to dive in, and this may be one that you're going to have to listen to once and then come back to and take some notes, because I definitely want you to take some action. One of the things that I have seen in managing social media for schools is that you don't manage social media. Social media manages you. And that is not a good place to be in. There are so many people getting burnt out with working in social media, not only for school, but for brands and all of these things. It's a very taxing job. And so I think right now is the perfect time for you and your role of serving your school to take a step back and let's review before we start, you know, moving forward into next school year. So the first thing I really want you to do as you reflect is think about, how do you feel about your social media strategy? You know, what's working well? What isn't working well? Are you constantly overwhelmed? Do you always feel like you're missing something that's happening in your school district? You don't find out about it until after it's happened. That is one of the number one concerns that I get when I'm speaking to school communicators across the country. They're always like, I'm always missing something. Do you have the support from your administration? Do they support your efforts with social media? And, you know, as you reflect, what skills do you think would make things better, would make things easier for you, more manageable in looking at your social media? And I don't want you to just think in your head right now. This is actually an assignment. I need you to grab a piece of paper. There is power when you put pen to paper. So I don't want you to type these out. I want you to actually grab a notebook, an old-fashioned notebook, and a pen. Maybe you have one of our funky Social School for EDU pens, and you can write this out with that. But I really want you to say, when I think about our social media for the school, how does it make me feel? How do I feel? And then what is working well? Because obviously there are things working well, but then what isn't working well? Do you have the support you need? And then what skills could make you better? Write those out. You will be surprised. Set yourself a timer, okay? Set out 20 minutes. to really write as much as you can to those. I just gave you five questions. So one was, how do I feel about social media? Number two is, what's working well? Number three is, what isn't working well? Number four is, do I have the support I need? That's very, very important. And we do have some strategies to build that if you don't have it. Number five, what skills could make things better? And I want you to set a timer and I want you to just write. And then I want you to go back and review it. Because we really want to understand where you're at and how you're feeling right now. Now, after this school year, 2019-2020, I mean, it's a school year unlike any school year. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, there's no doubt and no reason you shouldn't feel that way, right? Because it's been an unprecedented time. But as we look into next school year, we also don't know what it's going to look like. And so we really need to reflect right now when it's fresh on our mind and take a look at what maybe we need to change. So after you kind of reflect of what social media, you know, how it's making you feel and thinking about those things, it is time to dive into the data. Now, we're lucky with social media. There is more data to look at, more charts, more comparisons. I mean, you could spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week looking at the data, you know, me and my Wisconsin accent, guys. So we could look at the data all day long, but what is important to look at. So I'm really going to break it down, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter today, of what you should be looking at. But my first question is, how often are you looking at the data? Because if you're not looking at it periodically throughout the school year, you are missing something, because you guys, social media is changing all the time. All the time. They're releasing new features and new things. And it's just like, if you're not tracking it, it can get away from you in a hurry. If you think what's working now that worked last year is going to work this year, it's not necessarily true. Now, we manage, as a company, we manage social media for 90 school districts across the country. We also coach another 40 schools. So we have the insight into all the data every week that we're kind of looking at. And then every quarter, we're actually putting together a report card for our school, not only the school, you know, if they have a school PR person, which many of them don't, but the leadership team, the school board, and even the staff looks at, because when people can see the impact social media is making, guess what? They're more apt to participate and to send you content and to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that, you know, that post reached 10,000 people in our little community. So you need to come up with some way of making sure that you're staying on top of that data and not just keeping it to yourself, but actually sharing it, because you just glancing at the report Facebook sends to you, that's not going to do anything. Okay. So, you know, I'm looking at a chart right now from a small little district that's grown 97% in just 17 months. If you are a well-established Facebook page, you're not going to have that big of growth from year to year, but it's important to track it. Just so you know, if your Facebook fans have kind of plateaued, there's a really simple tip. I have a K-12 PR tip. I will link it in the notes, but it's an easy way to actually invite fans that are already engaged in your content to actually like your page. So just because somebody likes one of your posts doesn't mean they're actually a fan of your page. They may not see all of the content or, you know to follow it. And so you can actually give them a little gentle nudge. It's a great way to actually continually grow your fans. But, you know, when we look at data, especially just Facebook, we're looking at sharing anywhere from 2 to 5 posts a day in the school year, a little bit less, obviously, in the summertime. But some of our districts, we've got a district in Nebraska, 400 students. You guys, they're reaching almost 7,000 people every week just with their Facebook posts. So I'm telling you, when you dive into this data, and if you don't have the support you need, when you're able to show some of these numbers, you will get the support you need, okay? And of course, things come and go and they go up and down and sometimes you have more viral type posts. But the goal is to tell a consistent story. And when you're looking at Facebook specifically, so Facebook, I think the most important metrics to look at are total fans, your weekly reach, your number of posts that you're sharing, and your engagement. And when you track those, and again, I've been doing this for 6.5 years. So your original goal for your Facebook fans should be to match the enrollment of your school district. Most of the schools we serve, we're running a district-wide Facebook page, and our goal is going to be to match enrollment. Now, we manage social media for a lot of schools that are 400 students or 800 students K through 12. A little bit easier to match, although when you're starting out with hardly any followers, it's going to take a little bit. Now, if you have 10,000 students or 20,000 students, it's obviously going to take longer to get there, but you can, right? You can definitely get there. And so the goal is to match enrollment. If you have a school page, school by school, and you know, if you have 20, 30,000 students in your district, you probably are going to have a school-specific Facebook page. Again, your goal is to match your enrollment. So if your, you know, elementary school has 600 students in it, then your initial goal is to get 600 fans on that page, okay? Now, you go into the next one, your weekly reach. So your weekly reach, and by the way, you can get all of this inside of the Facebook Insights. So once you go onto your Facebook page, if you're an admin or editor or an analyst, you can go into your Insights and, oh my gosh, that's where you could spend days, okay? But on that main page, you're going to be able to see your weekly reach. So in the last 7 days, how many people have you reached? These are unique people that were reached within that given 7 days. So if I'm a fan of your page and maybe I saw 5 or 6 of your posts, I'm only going to be counted once. But your weekly reach goal is 4 times your number of fans. So who out there likes, you know, math, right? Some of my math teachers, they love these little formulas. So if you have that, let's do simple math because I am, you know, I'm kind of talking off the cuff here. If you got 500 fans, your weekly reach would be 500 times 4 is 2,000. So our goal is to reach every week 2,000. Are you going to every week? No, but that's a rough goal, okay? If you're about 3 times that and you kind of keep track of that, that's powerful and you can monitor it. Now, your number of posts, and I say a day, really we focus, you guys, the most on sharing your story Monday through Friday. Why? Less engagement on the weekend because people are busy. And 2, you deserve a break. If you are monitoring all of your Facebook pages all weekend long, which of course you're going to check in, but if you're posting new content out over the weekend, you got to look and see, oh my gosh, did I, you know, is somebody responding because I missed out one of the kids that should have been recognized for the spelling bee or, you know, whatever. It's going to cause more work for you. So we have really found that you're going to get the most engagement. And of course, there's hot posting times, you guys. This podcast could go on for a long time when I dive into all of those things because, you know, we like posting 6 a.m., 7 p.m. If we need to, we put in a lunchtime post, after school post. Usually it's pickup time. That's been changed a little bit with temporary school closures, right? So you got to kind of play around with the times that you're posting. And again, you can schedule all of that out directly through the Facebook app. It's very easy. But when I talk about number of posts, I'm talking about like about one a day in the summer. Right now it's summer. If you can post once a day on Facebook, that's awesome. In the school year, you guys, there's awesome things happening all the time. Most of the school districts we work with, we're posting anywhere from 2 to 5 times a day. We don't like to go over 5 times a day because then Facebook thinks maybe we're spamming people, right? That we're just putting stuff out there. You also never, ever want to post on top of each other because, again, there's this thing called the algorithm, right? And that algorithm is going to determine how many people are actually going to see your post. When you put too many things together, that's an issue, Okay, so that's why we spread out our posts by at least a few hours, 6 a.m., 11 a.m., pickup time, 7 p.m. Sometimes we'll even throw in a 9, 9:30 p.m. That can be good. But that's kind of your goal around Facebook. Homecoming, some of the big events, you're going to post more often than that. That's okay. It's okay to like break Facebook. Engagement ultimately drives weekly reach. You want to drive that number up as high as you can. So you may be asking, what is engagement on Facebook? Well, you can actually look at engagement when you scroll down to the top insights on your overview tab. There's a spot where you actually can compare yourself to other schools, like schools around you or schools of similar size. It's really fun because we're all competitive, right? But engagement is a measure of how many people are liking, commenting, or sharing your posts. So this algorithm that, you know, Facebook has, the more likes, comments, and shares you get, the more people are going to ultimately be reached. So engagement drives reach. So we want to continue to drive up the engagement. There's a lot of strategies, and I'll do another podcast episode just on different techniques of raising engagement and getting people to respond and getting people to share, right? There's a lot of strategies there. But ultimately, you want to increase that number. And just so you know, a like is not created equal to a comment, which is not created equal to a share. If you actually go back and look at your posts in Facebook, you can see how many people each post reached, okay? I can guarantee you that the posts that reach the most people have the most shares, because that is the most valuable method of reaching more people. That's the ultimate driver of engagement, is a share, when somebody actually shares it out on their page with other people. I have shared this before. Even my husband, he's so funny, even he knows this 1, 7, 14, another math equation. But I learned this from a podcast interview on Social Media Examiner a few years ago. And I don't know if it exactly holds true, but I'm telling you, it's close, right? There's a ratio. So when somebody looks at a post on your page, it's a great, you know, picture of two kids, you know, smiling, you know, doing a little activity in Phi Ed or whatever. When somebody hits the like button, that's worth 1 point. So this Facebook algorithm, it's a hypothetical scale that I'm sharing with you, is like worth 1 point. If somebody makes a comment and says, "That's so cute. I remember playing with a parachute when I was in kindergarten," right? Because everybody played with a parachute. That was so much fun. That comment is worth 7 points. It's 7 times more powerful when somebody takes the time to comment versus just to like it. When somebody shares it, and they're sharing it because, "Oh my gosh, look at little Joey. That's my little Joey. Look at what he's doing at his school," right? Somebody, some mom is sharing that, or some grandma. That's worth 14 points. So my Wisconsin math tells me 14 points is a lot more than 1 point. It's like 14 times more powerful. So this is my little tip to you. Talk to and share that little 1, 7, 14. And I've got a blog on it. I've got a tip on it that makes it easy to share with people. I've got that in the show notes. But if you share that with other people, they'll know that, hey, the more I interact, the more I'm going to help my school. You share that with your PTO or your PTA organization, right? And then you tell them, hey, the more you interact, the more you help our school, guess what? They will be liking and commenting and sharing all day long. So that's a great way to increase your engagement. Get on the backside. You know, if you miss the webinar, which is where I really broke it all down, but you can definitely look at all of these things inside Insights. There's an overview tab. There's a likes tab that if you wanted to go back and look at where you were like a year ago, because it's summer, you might want to see, okay, where was I in July of 2019 and where am I in July 2020 for Little New Auburn. That's the district that I still manage. You know, we grew from 1,655 fans to 1,880. So it was a 13.6% growth. I'd love to shoot for 25% growth on Facebook. But guys, I started this page back in 2004. And do you know how many students we have in New Auburn? We have 300. 300 students. So my initial goal would be 300 fans. I've got almost 1,900 fans. There's not that many people that know about New Auburn. Well, maybe now there is because you're listening to this podcast. But it gets harder and harder to add fans. But I just want you to know that you can take a look at that. You can also look at your posts and you can see when fans are online. You can see what type of posts are reaching more people. And then, like I said, you can actually type in other pages to compare yourself with, which is super powerful. So I've got up on my screen right now as I'm talking to you, you know, Little New Auburn, who has 300 students, Loyal School District in Wisconsin's another district we serve. They have a little over 600 students. So yes, they have a couple hundred more fans, but we had similar amount of posts in the last week, and we had not too far off for engagement. We had 3,200, they had 3,800. So we're doing pretty darn good. So it's kind of fun to be able to watch that. But that's a little bit on Facebook, Facebook metrics. Facebook's always our number one channel. Now, are you on Instagram? Okay. I just want to talk quickly about Instagram and Twitter. Instagram, you're going to look at total followers. You're going to look at post reach. You're going to look at it, your activity. You're going to look at your audience because you want to see who am I talking to, right? What should I be sharing on there? So first of all, when you go onto your Instagram page on your phone, your mobile device, you should see right in the middle when you're on your account, an insights tab. If you don't see that, that means your page might not be set up as a business account. You need to be set up as a business account to see any of these metrics. Some of you have a big conspiracy theory, which I don't blame you, right? Because Facebook owns Instagram. You know, Big Brother, they're watching everything you do, and they're actually going to, if you have it as a business setting, they're going to limit your visibility because you're not a personal page, you're a business page. That could be true. But I'm telling you, it's worth it to have all the insights and all the capabilities that you have to look at analytics with a business account. So you got to set that up. That's up in the three bars. You can do that. But in insights, there's content, there's activity, there's audience. There's posts that have kind of happened recently. It'll tell you how many eyeballs actually saw it, but you're actually able to go in and select what time period you want to look at. And so if you look at over the last year, I can quickly see 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 posts that reached the most. And guess what pictures I'm seeing? I'm seeing high schoolers and middle schoolers that are getting the most love on our page. We do share pictures of smaller kids too, but those are the posts that reach the most. We had one day where we were supporting a neighboring district that was in mourning of two students that they lost to a tragic accident. That one by far was seen by the most people. We picked up on some hashtags, right? And other schools saw what we were doing and showed some love as well. But what this does is you look at it and you say, hey, what's doing well? I'm going to post more of that this year, right? You can definitely learn from that. And if you are using Instagram stories, which I hope you are, Tova Tupper did a great interview right early on in this podcast series, and we talked a lot about Instagram stories. But you can only see metrics for stories for 14 days, and afterwards those go away. So if you want to look at any metrics for stories, you're going to want to look within 14 days of publishing those. And just so you know, stories are only live for 24 hours, but within your archive, you can go back and look at what stories you shared. Now, it's not going to show you how many people that it reached or anything like that, but you're going to be able to look at that. And then, of course, you can look at your activity. You can look at your audience. You're going to be able to see, you know, what days a week most people are on, you know, what's your average reach. And then within your audience, you can see where are my fans located and what's the age range. Well, spoiler alert, I really want to know, and I'd love for you to tweet this at me at Andrea Gribble. Like, what's your age range background or breakdown for Instagram? So a lot of times we think about, you know, students, reaching students, and we do have some 13 to 17 year olds. But the two biggest bars are 25 to 34 and 35 to 44. So what does that tell me? That's our moms, right? And I definitely fall in that category. Now in the top level, almost to the next one, which is 45 to 54, but I'm not there yet, so we're okay. But it also breaks it down by gender. We're 75% women, 25% men. Okay. And then, you know, time of day you can look at. So there's a whole bunch of stuff you can look at in Instagram. Again, don't get overly consumed, but looking at what performs well and looking at how your total followers have grown. Like in our little district right now, we have about 690 followers. We definitely want to keep that growing, right? But we can look back and see, okay, how many followers did I have a year ago and compare. Twitter is not as popular in most of the schools that we serve. I say Facebook's definitely number one, Instagram number two. But if you have a big Twitter following, awesome. It's a great place to be able to shout out all the celebrations and things that are happening in your school. You know, we're really looking at total followers, number of tweets, tweet impressions, and mentions. I don't have any, like I shared Instagram things that you should be following, Twitter things. I don't have a real definition of what you should have. For example, for Instagram followers, my gut feel kind of says your Instagram followers should almost match your middle school, high school enrollment, right? So, because it is kind of geared towards them. So, hey, if you've got, you know, 600 people in your middle school, high school, that's what you'd want to have for an initial goal, and then you'll grow from that. Twitter, it's really wide open because it just depends how many Twitter folks, you know, how many followers in your area or your businesses, how many people are active. But we're looking at total followers, number of tweets, tweet impressions, and mentions. And you can go dive all into that on your Twitter profile on your desktop. Just go into analytics and it's going to give you a 28-day summary right on the top. How many tweets you've done, how many tweet impressions, profile visits, how many mentions, all of that. And then actually it's really nice because like right now it may be lower content, but what if you go back to December, January, February, kind of before the whole COVID school closures happened, what were some of your top tweets? What were some of your top mentions? You know, that can be really key to look at and examine and see what you can do to up your game. And when you review those things, you know, popular posts, guess what you do with those? Do more, right? Do more of the popular posts. Low reach posts, do less of those. And I'm going to tell you, information versus celebration. Celebration wins every time, okay? So you want to celebrate the great things happening. When you post out and say, come and join our, you know, I don't know what kind of activities are going to happen right now. Maybe it's an online, right, an online fundraiser. Come and join this. But some of those invites are not going to necessarily reach a ton of people. But when you celebrate and you're like, hey, this just happened and thank you so much for participating and check out this picture and look at the money we raised and all of that, that's really going to reach a lot of people. So remember, social media is not always the answer to get out to everybody because not everybody has social media. Almost everybody does, but not everybody. And it's not necessarily going to reach everybody because of the algorithm. So definitely with those events, they need to be communicated, but don't just rely on social media. You need to get those out through your direct communication channels. I'm telling you, video, when I look at the top posts broken down by type, video is top. I think your goal, when you look ahead to 2019, 2020, I think your goal should be to share one video a week on Facebook specifically. At least one video a week. You got to share it natively in the Facebook. It can't be a link to a YouTube because that's considered a link. That's not considered a video. Okay. It does not have to be professionally edited. It could just be with your phone and with no intro, outro, nothing. Of course, you can get there. And we've got some great tips out there of free tools. You definitely should know how to use at least one of those to add some text and put pictures with videos and all of that. But video is something you want to look at. Facebook and Instagram stories are awesome, right? They're reaching a lot of people. They show up on the top of the newsfeed. What time are you posting? That's kind of it's up in the air right now because of the world we're living in right now. But try things out and then try, pivot, fail, improve. Guys, social media is all about trying stuff. Learn it, learn from what you you see, learn from others, learn from what we share. You're going to fail. You're going to screw up, and then you're going to improve. So that's the biggest thing. And then, you know, kind of finally, as you look into next year and you're thinking about reflecting how you're feeling, right, and what skills you need to gain, you're reviewing some of the data. This is another write down. And this I learned from my great friend, Ursula Menchez, who wrote a great book called One Great Goal. Definitely had a huge impact on me being where I am with the business that I've built since 2014. But when you think about, and this is social media, you probably, social media is a part of your job, right? And so it's not everything. But when you think about social media for your district and the way that you're going to celebrate your students and your awesome, amazing, resilient staff. And your students are awesome and amazing and resilient as well with everything they've gone through. But we need in 2020, 2021, we need to celebrate these people in big ways. And so we want to set some social media goals. Okay. So when we're thinking about what we want to do with social media, I want you to write down 10 goals that you have for your social media account. And you're going to write them out on a piece of paper. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're going to number it down the left-hand side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're going to write out your goals. What are some of those goals? Maybe it's, hey, you know what? I want to add an Instagram channel for my district. Okay? Because maybe you don't have one. Maybe it's, I want to grow my Facebook fans to meet our enrollment. So if your enrollment is 1,000 kids, you have 600 followers right now, maybe your goal is, hey, I want to grow it to 1,000 fans. Maybe it's, I just want to post once a day, like Andrea said. And I know she said twice a day when school starts, but oh my goodness, I'm going to feel awesome if I can just post once a day. So it can be anything that your school needs. And again, I've got a lot of other things that you definitely could write down, but maybe you just want to get more buy-in from your administrative team. And maybe that's one of your goals. Maybe your goal is to create some kind of a report card where monthly you are telling your staff, hey, this is going really good. Keep it up. You're some kind of a feedback mechanism, because the more you give them for feedback, the more great stories you're going to get. Okay. So you're going to make a list of 10 things. Once you have those 10 things, you are going to scratch out 5 of them. So basically, you could circle the 5 that are the most important to you, okay? So circle the 5 most important out of those 10. And once you have those 5 circled, you got to cross out 2 of those. So you're going to keep 3, but you got to cross out 2 more. Because you guys, if we are shooting for too many things, we're going to fail on all of them. We are going to feel overwhelmed if I'm trying to grow Instagram and I'm trying to get a hashtag going over on Twitter and I'm going to retweet 5 times a day. And then on Facebook, I'm going to be posting at least 3 times a day. You know, if you have all those goals, you're all over the place and you're setting yourself up for failure. So right now, after you cross those other 2 out, you should have 3 left. And of those 3, I want you to look at the goal that would have the biggest impact for you, for your students, and for your school. Okay? Look at what one goal would really have the most impact. And that is what I want you to strive for. And what my friend Ursula taught me is that when you reach that one goal, you will be surprised at how many of the other 9 goals that you wrote fall into place because you chose to focus on that one. For instance, if getting your administrative team is on board is key, if that's the one thing you circle, when you get them on board and feel that support and start getting content to share, it's going to make your job so much easier that some of those other things that all of a sudden you are going to have space to maybe start an Instagram page, which by the way, we've got a lot of resources on that. Maybe you're going to develop a system of, you know, giving reports back to staff of how things are going, and then you're going to get more stories. It just all has a butterfly effect, right? And when you focus on one goal, a lot can be achieved. So, in recap, you know, as we look to the next school year, there's a lot of unknown. We don't know what school's going to look like. I'm recording this early June. And as we look at social media and really setting ourselves up for success, we got to reflect, we got to review the data, and we got to set some goals or priorities. I would love to hear back from you what maybe one of your biggest takeaways or what your one great goal is, because I want to support you in reaching that goal. So if you might have set a goal and you have no idea how to get there, talk to me, because I've written like 350 articles on social media and schools. I bet I have some resources that I can just send you. So you can do that in two ways. You can email me, Andrea@socialschoolforedu.com, Andrea@socialschoolforedu.com, or you can tweet to me @AndreaGribble. So find me on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, you should be, because it's a great place to exchange and get ideas. So one of those two ways, I want to hear what your goals and priorities are, your number one goal. And then if you need some help, I want you to ask me questions. Okay. We got a lot of great show notes actually for this podcast episode. So look, if you're struggling with any of this, look in the show notes. It's going to kind of break down some of those questions that I told you to write down and ask, and give you some additional resources with some K-12 PR tips that will help walk you through some of this, 1714 and how to invite people to like your page. Thank you. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for doing what you're doing. It's really, really important. And until next time, you guys keep telling those stories and make sure that if this is valuable, would you hit the subscribe button? Like, dude, I give these out every week. We're sharing helpful discussions, interviews, and tips like this. I want you to subscribe so you don't miss one. And it can accompany you on your drive or on your run, wherever you're at. But we really, our goal is to just help more schools and make social media a little bit easier. So until next time, keep telling those stories. Bye-bye. Well, that's a wrap. Another episode of our podcast. I hope you learned a lot. And if you did, you should hit subscribe, right? Have you subscribed to this podcast yet? We come out with new content every single Monday. We're interviewing great guests. We're uncovering great tips that are going to help your school. Hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't left me a review yet, I'd love to hear from you there. So just hit a review. Now, in the show notes, you can actually sign up for my newsletter. You guys, socialschoolforedu.com, we've been serving schools since 2014. We just focus on social media. And if you want helpful videos and blog articles and links to other helpful content, you're going to want to be on that free newsletter. So check that out in the show notes and get signed up today. Socialschoolforedu.com is our website. You can check out more of what we offer there. My mission is to help schools celebrate what's going on in their districts with social media. We work with public schools, we work with private schools, we work with charter schools, and we share all of our experience through free content and through some paid services, which include a membership program, a webinar pass. We even do full management for schools. We just want to make social media and celebrating schools easier. So you can check out more at our website, socialschoolforedu.com. Until next time, guys, keep telling those stories.